morning. Good to be back. I was here Wednesday.
What did I miss?
I don't know if anybody heard, but I baptized Rose
on
Wednesday.
Here?
Oh,
check it out. How about
it? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Hey,
hi,
Daddy.
Daddy.
How are you? I'm a little raspy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, morning. I'm good.
You should be on time.
Somebody's. Yeah.
She didn't want to be baptized over at Hopewell? Rose?
No.
She wanted that. We had water here.
Okay.
What's wrong with this water?
That's right. Ethiopian. Okay.
Yeah, let's go. She wanted to do that. And,
wonderful.
We might say no.
Oh, no.
We own a well here in this county.
That's good.
This is county water.
Good morning. We were talking about some of the problems we're having. We're getting older. We got some health issues. Sometimes life gets hard. We sing songs during worship, when we all get to heaven. What a day it'll be. When we sing them songs, do you go there? Do you imagine that you're in heaven and... And how does that make you feel? What are you looking forward to? I'd like to ask you, and I'd like you to think about what you're looking forward to when you get to heaven. But then also, I'd like to talk about and what we all receive when we get to heaven. What's what you're looking forward to, and then what do we have now? So if we talk about what are we looking forward to when we get to heaven?
I'm looking forward to seeing my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
amen.
Yes. Amen. I am too. Only him sing.
I know. Yeah.
What else?
Looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ.
Yes. See him on the street.
Seeing his face.
See his face.
Yeah, seeing him too.
12 feet.
Hugging him.
Yes.
Talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
See them 12 gates of pearl, but they ain't nothing like these we got here. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Had a whole gate made of pearl.
Miss Beverly?
12.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, I was going to say the same thing, looking forward to Jesus, but there's another thing. I'm looking forward to seeing my father, who I haven't seen since I was 10 years old. And I know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great to know? There's no doubt in your mind. And you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are...
That's right.
Yeah. They all are different. Weston?
I'm looking forward to... I can't really imagine it. But to be in a place where I don't have to put up with all this stuff that's going on in the world today. Despite the troubles...
Mm-hmm.
Always worrying, where I never, not since I was a child, and I didn't ever have to worry about anything when I was younger because I didn't know nothing about nothing, And my parents took care of everything. All I had to do was just ask them for what I needed.
Yeah.
And other than little schoolmates or friends that I grew up with, I didn't have no problems. I got along with everybody that I do. But growing up and getting old and being out in the world and seeing stuff, people just do stuff out of spite. Just living with a bunch of hatred and a bunch of stuff that people just do stuff sometimes. I don't know if you don't seem like you don't think about it, but it's hard to imagine a place where everybody is just happy and glad to be around people and nobody has no evil intent.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the presence of sin, I am looking forward to it. How does that feel?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Out of the presence of sin. Anybody else?
New body.
New body.
Yeah.
A new body.
that we are going to be like him, and that we're just going to sing and worship and mm-hmm. praise him, and I don't need anything
else. Nothing else is going to
matter. Nothing else matters. And eating from the tree of life, every month there'll be a different fruit, and the water, you know, running, and it just, the everything is just going to be wonderful. And all the people that you know are there waiting on you. That, what was it? The, that are praying for you. What is it? Oh, I can't think of the word. You have that. Anyway. Yeah, beautiful. All the people that have been cheering for you, keeping you in prayer, and you know, rooting for you all down here. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. You know. I can't think of the word. You know what I'm trying to say? Let it go.
in his presence.
In his
it's
presence.
Going to be amazing.
Thank you. Just leave it like that.
In his presence.
Yeah.
No pain, no tears. Made complete. We're going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm going to feel perfect.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That new body.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be our true selves in heaven. We are going to be perfect in heaven. Down here, we're not perfect. I think all of you are authentic. But if we're honest, do we wear some form of a mask? Yes. Think about that.
Yes.
I mean, even in a marriage.
Yeah, you have to think about it, yes.
Even in a, but that, because we have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there will be no need for any cover. It'd be like we could be naked again if we don't care, and I don't mean that in a perverted way. Just like you were as a child, and that innocence, and you knew nothing of the problems, you know. But you can be your true self because you're perfect. There's no shame. There's no problem showing yourself, and that freedom. There's nothing more freedom than a two-year-old boy running around naked. But anyways, kept that inside. But anyways, glorified bodies, our inheritance, we will have that inheritance fully given to us. But here's what I thought about. I thought about those are great thoughts, and it's great to look forward to, and it can be encouraging. But just like the Thessalonians, you know, the Lord's coming back any second now, any day. I'm just going to quit my job, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for him. And sometimes we can get discouraged and still be thinking about the future, but ready to go. And it's just like Elijah, when he was laying down in the fetal position, he said, I wish I had never been born. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, you know, you're not done yet. Fed him, kept on going. We're not done until he's finished with us. We're his servants, and we go all the way until we're called. So I thought about, can somebody read Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 26? You're familiar with this scripture. You want to read that one?
Which one is it?
Philippians 1, 18 through 26.
Yeah.
Want to call? Well, whoever's got it, I thought you had it.
What is it, Philippians 1?
1:18 through 26.
2 through 26?
18 through 26.
Okay. But what does it matter? The important thing is that every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for me deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through me, my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me.
Okay, all right. And that's the attitude we should have. Whether we're here or whether we go home, it's his choice. I would like to go home. Is that, you know, I'll tell you, Russ told me that one time. I was like, it's kind of a strange thing to say. But as Chuck, you would say, Lord, come quickly. Why not? What, this is, you know.
One day closer.
Now, do I want to serve the Lord and down here? Yes. But, you know, would I be heartbroken? No, I would not be heartbroken. I would go and that's going to be with him.
And so that is something, hopefully, in our walk of faith as we mature in the Lord, that our desires are that paramount, that prominent, that so desired that we are looking forward to that day. And so, whereas we know that we're just passing through this world, and unfortunately, far too many people, even in the faith, are hanging on to relations that are left on the world, that they'd rather be here than there. And so there's time for that, but it should not be so prominent that you discard what you have waiting for you.
All right, let me ask you or anybody else. We sometimes I've heard people say, well, you know, I've got loved ones that are not saved yet. You know, I'm ready to go. I still have, you know, that work to do or not. So how do you, I want to go and Lord come quickly, but my loved ones aren't. How do you reconcile that or deal with that?
Maybe you going will push them to be saved.
If you go before them, maybe that, okay.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. So you need to look at it as, you've done all you can do.
Amen.
And let God take it from there. Mm-hmm. You need to be the one to let go. Because God has it.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. You speak the truth.
Yeah, we're supposed to plant the seed.
Yeah.
And somebody else may come along and
exactly.
Give the increase in water. And God will give the increase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... of course, it's our desire. It's a natural human desire that all loved ones, in fact, hopefully it goes beyond just loved ones, that everyone who's walking the face of the earth will turn to the Lord and that will worship him and honor him, that is so do him. And so that this whole mindset, of course, has to be changed. And that's why Christ came. He came to change their hearts so that their minds will follow and worship God, so on weekends, all the stadiums across the whole world are filled with worshipers, not football players.
Well, I was thinking of the story of the rich man and the beggar, okay? When both of them passed away, the rich man wanted to send somebody back to convince his brothers to change their ways. And what was the answer? They have their prophets. People here, even when we pass away, there are still opportunities for the loved ones that have not obeyed Christ to find the help that they need. And it's not for us to make sure that they are in Christ. We spread the seed. We teach them. The conviction of their heart is what will save them, not our conviction of what we got to do. Leave it to God to take care of that. As long as we do our job that God has appointed for us to do, when we to reach the fulfillment of that, he will call us home, and we should be ready. We should rejoice at that day. You know, I can't wait till I get there. I mean, it's... this life here is nothing but hardship right now. You know, and it's there's just too much for me to look forward to.
So what brings you joy here on earth? Because you do find joy here on earth. I know you do.
I do. I mean, my family does, but most of all, most of my joy is here.
Right here.
It's here.
It's Friday, it's Bibles. It's,
yeah.
Don't you find it the only thing that brings me joy? I can be happy. The only thing that brings me joy and brings me great joy is to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. When I am working with my Lord, and my Heavenly Father is proud of me. I just, you know, who doesn't want to make their father proud?
Amen.
And to have the opportunities and the eyesight to look for them, I pray for that so mm-hmm. that I can do that. Because that's the only thing that brings me joy.
Yeah.
Here on earth. Yes.
It reminded me, I forget where I heard this, but there is a construction company, and there was a brother in the Lord is the manager, the owner of the construction company. And in the yard, before they would go off and do their day's work, they would all gather together and have prayer. Before they went to work. And I was thinking in my mind, how wonderful that would be to be employed like that and work with. And so the Lord did provide that.
Yeah.
In the sojourners which we are part of. Because when we go build cabins for the kids, we all gather together, have Bible study, we pray. And then off we go do the work for the Lord. And then we come back and keep going. Yeah, it is a beautiful thing. A wonderful thing.
All right, let's look at what we have here now in Christ Jesus. What I've been listening to this podcast, and they've been concentrating on this, and I opening my eyes to it. What we have here in Christ today, we have it now and we're going to have it later, you know. Eternal life. Yeah, we've got eternal life in heaven. We have eternal life here. So I want to go to scripture on that. If someone could get John 5:24. And who's got that? You raise your hand. You got five. All right, who's got 1 John 3:14? Okay, Judy. And one more. I've got John chapter 11, verses 21 through 28. Okay, Beverly.
John 5:24.
Uh-huh. You got that?
And that last one was John 11 what?
21 through 28. Go ahead, Roy, when you got it.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life.
Pass from death unto life. We have passed from death to life. We are already there. Judy, another one to back that up?
We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death.
Okay, thank you. And Beverly, 21 through 28. This is, you know, it's death of Lazarus, and this is Jesus talking to Martha.
Yeah, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you.
Okay. Well, I like that last part. Teacher is coming, he's calling for you. But what I really like is she knew that she believed in the resurrection in the last days. But it was Jesus' response. When he says, I am the resurrection. I'm standing right in front of you. I am the resurrection. I am eternal life. That is powerful. That's Jesus. In us, we have eternal life. We have eternal life right now. We don't have to die for it. We know. Just like Beverly was talking about. She knows she's going to see her dad. Miss Betty knows she's going to be with her husband, Ray. We know these things. We've got an hour. We'll have it in heaven as well. Forgiveness of sin. We're not going to be in the presence of sin. So, all right, we are in the presence of sin. We sin. But we have forgiveness of sin now. The Israelites could not get forgiveness of sin. We have forgiveness of sin. We have the blood of Christ. We have it now. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. But 1 John chapter 1, I think all 1 John chapter 1 verses, I think that's 5 and 6. I think all sermons go to this scripture. We end up here because it's so amazing. How can we be a holy people if we sin? How can we stay holy? How can we stay pure? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Who's got that?
I got it.
All right.
So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar.
First John?
Oh, I'm
sorry. It's my bad. I'm sorry.
Okay.
First John chapter 1, yep. Verses 5 through 10.
This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is, we not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Amy. We have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with God. In him there is no darkness. We can't have any darkness and be in fellowship with him. How do you explain that?
Because of his blood that cleanses us. Because we are not perfect, not on this time side of life. But because of his blood that cleanses us of our sin. But that doesn't mean that we don't sin, because we're not perfect. We do sin, but because we have Christ in us and we try to follow his commandments, his blood covers us as long as we continue to do his will. But when we don't, and we do fall, each and every one of us, that's why we sin.
So you're perfect, but you're not perfect.
We're imperfect as long as we are human. We can't be perfect. Only one was here perfect in our human form.
Yes.
We cannot be perfect in a sinful world.
When we're in heaven, we're going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can be not perfect down here, but be perfect as well. Is that right?
Not perfect. We strive to be perfect.
Okay.
But we, because of Christ's blood, if we were perfect, there'd be no need for his shed his blood.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we cannot be perfect in this human form.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're in the flesh.
Okay.
That's why I say we're in the flesh.
Okay, Chuck, what would you say?
Well, God is very well aware of us as individuals. Very aware. But he sees us through the lens of Jesus Christ. Because of that gift and that sacrifice of his gift, he sees us through him. And that's how we can approach him. Because again, without that gift, of course we'd be lost. But without that gift, we couldn't even dare raise up prayers unto God.
Right.
Christ makes it possible.
Couldn't raise our prayers up to you. Okay, go ahead. I'm
Oh, that's okay. I was just thinking, these verses really don't say that we're perfect. But it says that we sin, and his son purifies us. Mm-hmm. So we're living to with sin in us to be light because of Jesus, right? I don't think it says that we're perfect.
Okay. And I'm not trying to muddy the waters. I'm just trying to get the discussion going.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, there are two factions within us. There's our fleshly part and our spiritual part. Mm-hmm. That's why we're constantly at battle. Mm-hmm. Flesh wants what flesh wants. So that's where our sin comes in. And as long as we're in this body, we cannot say that we're without sin. But Christ gave us the assurance through his death and his blood and his resurrection. We can come to him and confess those sins. And he will wash us of them. And I'm not saying we should take this part of sin lightly, in no way. We need to constantly fight against that fleshly part.
Right.
But Jesus gave us a way to get rid of this part, to have an avenue of escape from those sins. He said that if you come to me and confess your sins, I will forgive you. And we were just talking, I think, last Friday about confessing sins. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. It has to be a mourning, grieving type of confession of your sins. Because it's a serious thing. Sins that haven't been forgiven, they will cause us problems when we get there. But we have to understand it's not just, Lord, I'm sorry that I did this. That's not going to work. It has to come from the heart, your sorrow for what you've done, for Jesus to forgive you. Because he can see whether you're serious about this or not.
Yeah.
He knows that. But thanks be to God, we have a way to confess our sins and be forgiven of them. And then we stay within. I always say at the end of my prayer, he keeps us in the on the way to him,
yeah.
You know, on the road to him.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Chuck, you're talking about our prayers wouldn't even go up, you know. We can't. But he's talking about fellowship.
Yeah.
He's talking about not just being with him and him being in us and us in him. You can't get any closer than that. Wesley, I always love when you pray for sins, knowing and unknowingly.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a great heart to say, Lord, if I've done anything, please forgive me. That's the heart you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always think about close, intimate relationships. It could be a marriage relationship. It could be you and Nancy living together. That's a close relationship. And don't you know when you're good and when you're not? I mean, for the most part, sometimes you don't know. You kind of, We know where we stand with God. Mm-hmm. We know where we stand with God. And you can have a dysfunctional, you can make your relationship with God dysfunctional. It's not His fault, it's your fault.
Yeah.
But why would you? I was talking about being authentic, and if you're real with Christ and your heart is real, you're going to mess up, but you're going to do your part to get right and to stay right with Him and stay in that light, because there's where the peace is and the joy is, and outside the light is heartache and pain and fear and everything else. Yes?
David is a good example of how we should approach God with sin.
Right.
When he did wrong, he had no excuses. He owned it before God, and he repented for it. That's the attitude that we got to have. You know, if a lot of times when you can get confronted, you did wrong, you want to deny it. I didn't mean it, or I didn't do that. David owned it. And that's what we got to do.
We've got to do. We got to want to do. How do you explain that kind of love and that kind of grace that God gives us? You confess your sins. I'm going to forgive you. I just want our relationship to be right. You get right with me, and I'm going to have a relationship.
Exactly.
Where do you find that on this planet? You know, who's? marriage is two flawed people, you know. You're the perfect, loving, merciful God, Almighty God, that has such patience with us, that just wants our heart. Just, you know, I think of God with Cain and that conversation he had with him, and I just thought that was so merciful and with so much grace. Just look, if you do what's right, won't you be accepted? You know, he didn't have to go to him. He could have just struck him down. What are you sacrificing this? You know better than that. You know, you don't love me. Bam, just got rid of him. No, he went to him. He said, no. I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. I mean, it's just amazing. But I'm looking forward to no sin struggle in heaven. And then, although I appreciate so much His mercy and His grace for me while I'm here. So anyways, I mean, that's encouraging. Yes?
Ted, I found a verse you can use. It's Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yep.
There you go. That's okay. The one I was looking for.
I was thinking on that.
Were you thinking about that too?
Yeah.
It says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even tax collectors do that. You greet your only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Not even the pagans do that? He said, just be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. He wants us to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's what our goal should be, daily, to be perfect. Mm-hmm. He's a servant. He wants us to be. So,
let me ask you, is there a perfect family?
Oh, no.
Is there a perfect church?
Nothing on this planet.
You know what a mechanic told me one time?
What's that, Roy?
Anything made by a human is subject to fail.
Okay.
Yes, anything. Mm-hmm. Car, radio, anything.
Space shuttle.
Well,
yes. Anything made by a human.
Well, it might not be, you know, there might not be a perfect family. There might not be, and there's not a perfect church, but how about successful? What is successful? It's a family that works things out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a church that works things out. Mm-hmm.
To please God.
To please God.
Amen. To please God. I mean, yeah, you can work things out. That's to keep peace in the house. And no love can be ever exchanged.
Right.
But when you strive to please the Lord in that relationship, mm-hmm. then love is expressed.
Right.
So again, we as His children are to change the world. The world is not to change us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Joe. Adoption as His children. John chapter 1, Amy. It's our adoption in John chapter 1 is just, John 1, 5 through 10. Never forget this. John
1?
No, I'm sorry. 9 through 13.
John 1, 9 through 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
That right there, we were given the right to be children of God. That makes no earthly sense. But I believe it, and I'm his. And are you with me? I mean, that's... And we're talking about time running out. We're talking about Jesus coming back. We're talking about wanting to be with him. And maybe we got people that that we love that have not accepted him. But here's what the day of the Lord. The will of God is that everyone accepts his son, Jesus. And he wants no one to perish. And I hold on to that. And I know that God, at the right time, came to me at 35 years old, and revealed his son to me at 35. He was patient for 35 years. And I believe it was at the perfect time in my life where I was either going to accept him or I wasn't. And the same with Tina when she was 49 years old. And it was at the perfect time where it was either she, and everyone is going to have that time where if you didn't accept him then, you were never going to accept him. And he knows, right? God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows all the days before us. So I rest in him and his will for no one to suffer and no one to perish. And that time will come for everybody, no matter what. So it's okay. Lord, come now, please, quickly.
Amen.
Like you said, Amy, it's in his hand.
Yes,
it really is. And we're not going to, we can, through the Holy Spirit, work to bring people to Christ, but it's really God that draws them to his son. No one can come to him unless God draws them there. So I rest in that. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to stay scriptural on this. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because I've been studying a lot about this. Romans 8, 9 through 11. This is Romans 8, 9 through 11. Somebody got that? I'm sorry for making y'all turn in the Bible. But this is good. We are opening God's Word up. Yeah.
You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you.
All right. 1 Corinthians, we got a little bit of time. Let me spread them out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Who's got that? 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17. Colossians 1, verse 19. Who's got that? Amy? And then Ephesians 3, 14 through 19.
Okay.
Okay. All right, who's got 1 Corinthians? Judy? You got 1 Corinthians 16, 17?
Mm-hmm. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple.
All right. And 1 Corinthians 1:19.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell.
All right, now hold on to that. It's talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior.
All the fullness of God. What does that say? One more time.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell.
All the fullness of God dwelt in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, who's got Ephesians?
3.
Ephesians 3, 14 through 19.
14.
And listen to this.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of the glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
All the fullness of God. That's his will. Mm-hmm. Is that you be filled as Christ was filled with the fullness of God. That's pretty encouraging. We're going home. I know I get tired sometimes and I get a little discouraged, but there'll be a day to rest, but it's not right now. God's got more work for us to do. And you're the workers. But even workers need encouragement, and we need to be reminded of these things. So, you know, this is all good. Simple but good and amazing that God has given this to us. He's doing amazing things in my life right now. My daughter, my marriage. See him working?
Yeah.
If you don't, and sometimes I need to pray, Lord, let me see you. Mm-hmm. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Good to be with you this morning. I'm glad my voice is holding up.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.